Let's take a look at exactly what happened in building that program on the previous slide. The source file, hello.java, was compiled by the javac command, and what it did was create a class file, hello.class, which contains an intermediate compiled version of the logic in the first file. Now, I mentioned that you could have multiple classes in a Java source file, and you can. And what you will get when you compile a Java file is you will get a class file for each class. So if I had had three different classes defined in hello.java, two of them not public, of course, then I would have gotten three class files. That class file contains what we call bytecodes. It is not machine code. It is a universally defined format for code, which is called Java bytecode. And it's called bytecode because each internal code takes up a byte. Since it's not an executable file, you can't just run it. That's just the way it is. The only way you can get that to execute is to call upon the Java virtual machine. The Java virtual machine is just a program. It's a program that provides everything you need for a Java program to run. It's the execution environment for Java programs. Since the output inside of the .class file is not executable, you can imagine that that Java virtual machine is going to be doing some translation into machine code so that the program can run. And that's a true statement. So it is an interpreted phase. There is some interpretation going on. For that reason, there's a concern for speed. And that's a valid concern. And that's still the reason why C++ is used over Java in many instances. And that, of course, is improving. That is, Java tools are coming out, which are getting better and better all the time. There's even Java native code compilers, which will put out native code, and so they're extremely fast. But the virtual machine is a very important part of the Java philosophy because let's suppose that I'm using the internet and I want to run a program, but the code for that program I don't have. I need to download it. Well, how can I download code from one machine to another and have it run? I can't do that if that code is in native code. And so this intermediate form, this Java bytecode format, is something that can be readily downloaded over a network. And then I will run it in my local Java virtual machine. And that is what gives Java its portability. Because you write code which can run on a Java virtual machine, and then you have a Java virtual machine on whatever platforms you're interested in. And therefore, you have true portability. It runs identically from one system to the other. Now, when we were looking at C before, we noticed that there are some differences between the primitive types and the different systems. For example, an int might be 16 bits on one platform and 32 on another, and that can be a problem, and you have to worry about that. Well, with Java, you don't have to do that. As you'll see in just a moment, the built-in types are the same size, and the reason for that is because it is the Java virtual machine that our code runs under. And it's the Java virtual machine's job to make sure that it executes properly on whatever machine it is installed on.